The following resource is from lmpc.org and we're delighted to provide it freely to all. If you feel led to give towards the ministry of Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, we welcome you to do so at lmpc.org/give.
A reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone who, as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Thank you, Nathan. May I say welcome also. My name is also Joe, and it's an honor to have you with us if you're visiting with us. You've come on a day when we are in the midst of a study of the book of Acts. And may I remind you before I lead us in prayer that last week we sought to answer this question. What does Pentecost mean? This week, we seek to answer the question, what does Pentecost create? To get there, allow me to use an illustration. I was a very sick man. I had what is called Legionnaire's disease. It is an atypical form of pneumonia in which the Legionella bacteria settles in your lungs, and as it multiplies, it takes the life of 10% of the people who contract it. I was in the second week of the treatment, and it was 3:30 in the morning, and a nurse came in and took my temperature. It went down from 104 to 103. That 1 degree made me ask, are we winning? And though a nurse is not supposed to comment, she went in a whisper to me, I think we are. How could I possibly decide that by 1 degree there might be a change, and I might survive? How could she have the confidence to whisper that we could be winning? It's because the temperature is a part of something called vital signs. Vital signs include your temperature, your heart rate, your blood pressure, your oxygen saturation level, your respiration rate, and the sound of your lungs. When those vital signs indicate that the systems that they represent are functional, you are likely going to live. If those vital signs indicate the systems are dysfunctional, for a long enough time, you may not live. Let's go to Acts 2. I'd suggest to you what we are about to study are, in fact, the vital signs of God's church. He is about to identify what they are. So let me say this. Last week, we saw 3,000 people become Christians in one day. Now, that's impressive. But I want to suggest to you what happens in verse 42 to 47, where we see the behavior of 3,000 plus the 120 who were in the upper room. We see the behavior change when they knew about as much as the kids in the nursery here about Jesus. Completely. Now that is also very impressive. Here's what changed. Pentecost creates a people who, number one, are actually shaped by God's truth. Two, are generous. They're generous by God's grace. Three, They're missional by God's power. Those are the vital signs that Holy Spirit's at work. Let's pray that the systems in us will show signs of life. Would you join me in prayer? Father, now we're asking that in moments, the very thing we sang, O breath of life, O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Do what no human can do. Teach what no human can teach. Shape the way no human can shape. You alone can. And do it in all of us. That's a daring prayer, but we pray it. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Here's the first vital sign. When Holy Spirit comes, he creates a people that are actually shaped by God's truth, or their learning becomes what he wants it to be. Remember, as I said, this is 3,120 people. And you can tell they're being shaped because verse 46 says, every day they continue to meet together. Now listen, if somebody, let alone 3,000, begins to do something every day which they've never done before, they're being shaped. Their lives have been changed. And so the word devoted is applied to it by Luke. The word devoted has two elements in the Greek. It appears six times in the book of Acts. It has a time element here, meaning they continually devoted. And the word devote means give attention to, look toward, concentrate upon, give oneself to. And this devotion goes not only to the learning of truth, but to the loving of people and to the lifting of themselves to God. The word devoted goes all the way through the sentence, but first it's to truth. So here's what you're learning. Holy Spirit goes to work in people and creates holy habits that weren't there before, that creates a holy hanging in theiredness. It gives a hunger to have and to hold his ways, though they may have been foreign to us a day ago. This is what Ezekiel 36 means when it says, quoting God, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's it. That's the reshaping that Holy Spirit does. Now, before we drill down further in the passage, let me put the passage in the big picture of the whole Bible so you can see what Holy Spirit's doing here. To do that, I want to take you all the way back to Genesis 1, verse 2, which is the first time Holy Spirit appears in the Bible. It reads as follows. The earth was formless and empty, darkness covered the watery depths, and the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the deep. And he's the one of the Trinity identified to be the active one in creation. The next time you see him at work is at verse 28 of Genesis 1, when he begins to give teaching to which humans, Adam and Eve, were to be devoted. Accurate teaching that would listen, would make them more human. Here's what God commanded. First command, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Allow me to paraphrase it. Three things. One, humans, you be shaped by what God tells you. Two, love one another and love each other so much that ultimately the earth will be filled with God lovers. Three, take the creation that I've given you and generously, faithfully rule over it like I would. But listen, instead of being devoted to that truth, they were distracted from it by a snake in the grass and accepted distorted teaching. Two, instead of loving each other to such an extent that they would fill the earth with God lovers, they hid from God and blamed each other in his presence for what was wrong inside of them. They were less human in both cases. Third, instead of generously giving themselves to causing the creation to prosper ecologically, agriculturally, biologically, relationally, they actually used creation to hide from God. And they stuck a bush in between them and him. So now back to Acts 2, 42 to 47. This is not the birth of the church. This is the burst of the church. As Holy Spirit pours out upon people to make them human again, to send them to the whole earth. If he could have said these words, if I may paraphrase. Holy Spirit could have said, "Now, as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted by sin, Satan, and selfishness, I want you 3,120 people to do what Adam and Eve didn't. I want you to be shaped by my word that you're so rich, robust, and ravishingly alive that through you, we will overhaul the fall. We will reverse the curse. Let's push back sin's deception." Now that's the big picture of what's happening here. Holy Spirit is overhauling the fall. But now let's drill down. The first thing he's saying is to be devoted to truth from God. In other words, the teaching of the apostles is to be desired. It's to be sought. It's to be valued. It's to be savored. It's a reality that if Holy Spirit is shaping you, this comes to you too. Let me illustrate it from 1 Peter 2:2, and I want to say, I picked this verse on purpose. I became a grandfather again to a little boy yesterday, so this verse means a lot to me. It says, "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." I watched my little grandson. I left the room when he began to feed. His name's Simon James. But I bet he could have said this. "Well, that's good. That's real good. I don't know what that is, but I want more of that. In fact, I'm going to cry real loud if I don't get more of that. Because it fills me up." Holy Spirit makes you do the same thing with the word. "I want more of that. In fact, my soul will cry if I don't get it." Why? Well, he tells you in verse 42, he calls it the apostles' teaching, but then he says in verse 43, many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Look at the connection, please. Accompanying the teaching of God's word is always, when it's really used by Holy Spirit, always by the touching of God in lives. Now, in this case, it's miraculous. And he can do that when he wants. It can also be providential. What's it referring to, Joe? Very simply, the apostles were doing miracles. What it meant was, what was wrong with people's bodies became right. What was hurting became healed. What was helpless got help. What was ruined got repaired. When the Holy Spirit's teaching, he does the touching. Whether it's inside of us physically, spiritually, or whatever way. This is why Jesus and Deuteronomy 8 said these words. Humans do not live by bread alone. You live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Or put another way, you are actually more human because of truth. Now let me try and illustrate. If you're not a follower of Jesus, we're so glad you're here. Welcome. Very glad you're here. But you may find it very hard to believe what you're hearing me say for this reason. You're not sure that I'm telling you the truth. You see, as a human, you are drawn deeper than your DNA to something that you want to know is true. And you've seen Christians bamboozle people all the time. And you would say, don't mess with me. That's what makes becoming a Christian so hard. You think you've got the truth. But Francis Schaeffer was right when he said, you're really alive only when you have true truth. And that's the truth that comes from God. But there's a second thing that they were devoted to. They were devoted to expressly and actively loving. Listen to it. They devoted continually to themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Now, the word fellowship in the Bible doesn't just mean sitting around and being nice with one another. It meant to share, to live in a partnership, to be in a mutual giving and receiving. You can see how much they did it in verse 44. It said, all those believers were together. So there were no exceptions, all of them. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together. So not only were there no exceptions, there were no interruptions. Verse 46, they broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Well, that's no superficiality. That's deep hospitality. That's a whole lot more than sitting in a pew. These are relationally rich and robust interchanges where real love can take place. Let me push it even further. If you go back to Acts 2, verses 8 to 11, the racial makeup of the first 120 who are among this 3,120 is given to you. Listen to it, and you can see how much love is here. Here's the list. There were Parthians, Elamites, Medes, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians, people of Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egyptians, people from Libya, Cyrene, Romans, Jews, and Cretans. Let me tell you that when it says residents of Mesopotamia, those were Babylonians. Do you remember what the Babylonians did to the Jews? They decimated them and took them in deportation for years. Do you remember what the Egyptians, who are also listed here, did to the Jews? I mean, no minimization of what Nazi Germany did. But 400 years of exploitation. Now tell me that wouldn't create racism. And you even see it when Paul speaks of Cretans in Titus 1:2. He quotes a social commentator, not himself. He didn't think this. But he quoted what people said about Cretans. Listen to the racism. This is a direct quote from Titus. Cretans are always liars, brutes, and lazy gluttons. Now, why do I point that out? Racial, historical, cultural, horribly stereotypical tensions are no match for the Holy Spirit's giving you the ability to love. He just blows them away. Humans are more human when they're loving. And you're less human when you've reduced the world down to the size of you. This is what Jesus meant when he said, I've loved you. Love one another the way I've loved you. Be like me. You're in my image. You're more human when you are. And it also teaches that the Holy Spirit shaped them to both love the truth, to love each other, and to lift themselves toward God in active and expressive worship. Listen to verse 43. And everyone was filled with awe. The word awe means holy, soul deep, overwhelming, reverential fear. That's what was inside of them. Now, what was outside? Here's their behavior. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and the prayer. Why do I emphasize that? Scholars think because the article is in front of breaking of bread, that it's not just talking about a meal. It's talking about communion, the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread. and puts an article in front of prayer, because it's not talking about periodic, private, oh Lord, help me's, but going to gatherings where people were praying together. And we know from the text at verse 46, they did it in large groups. It says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. There's hardly a place you can find in Jerusalem big enough for 3,000 people to meet other than the temple courts. They did it in small groups, 46. They broke bread in the homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. So the worship was joyous. It was overflowing. It was deeply emotional. When Holy Spirit shapes you by his truth, your sense of awe is inside, and you begin to adopt these holy habits. I love communion. I love prayer. Now let's again go back to Genesis so you can see what God's doing. When God created this universe, he filled it with awe-inspiring experiences. If you'll allow me just to be candid, hearing a baby's coos and ahs just reduced me to tears. Seeing my daughter hold her son wiped me out. A sunset, a sunrise, the aurora borealis, the smell of honeysuckle, the sound of crickets in the evening. These are meant to make us go, man, this is incredible. But two, he created awe-inspiring things here to fill us with delight, but not to stop there. They were meant to be hints that our awe was designed for the Creator. It's sort of like this. Would you go to a Thanksgiving meeting that or a meal that was just glorious as a guest and not feel like I ought to thank the host? When you live on this earth and your awe stops with what's made, that is exactly what you're doing. But what Holy Spirit does is he lifts you. He basically, as you're seated at the table of the universe, says, ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce you to your host, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what accompanies is the very thing that happens here. Joy! You're so glad to meet him and to thank him. The devotion goes that deep. That's what he does. Now there's a second thing that's listed here. The second vital sign is that Pentecost creates a people who are generous by God's grace. Listen to verse 44 and 45. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone who had need. What Holy Spirit does is creates what stopped in Genesis. Let me take you back again. God created everything. He owns it. It may be arresting for me to say it to you, but he owns you. He owns everything that's here. It belongs to him. But he also modeled what he does with what he owns. When Paul says this about our gracious King Jesus, listen to this. He became poor, though he was rich, to make us rich. Or put in these terms, he didn't say, how much can I make and how long can I keep it? His question was, how much do I have? And what do the people I love need? That's the question you start to ask when Holy Spirit's shaping you. It stops being about gathering and keeping. It starts being about stewarding and giving. This is what Jesus meant when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You become more human when you're a giver instead of a keeper, if you allow me to do a very bad imitation. Do you remember Peter Jackson's film trilogy on the Lord of the Rings and his portrayal of Gollum? Gollum is a distorted human. His name was Smeagol. But selfishness has ruined him, and so he is, oh, my precious. What he cares about is not others now, just what he can keep. Don't become less human. There's a third thing that Pentecost creates, this devotion to truth that takes us to loving and worshiping, this generosity with the stuff that is ours, but it also makes us a missional people. It makes us missional by God's power. Listen to the text. And enjoying the favor of all people, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. First, I want you to note the impact upon those in the community. They enjoyed the favor of all people. The people of God, when Holy Spirit has really made them alive, ought to put the cynical world in a bit of a conflict. The cynical world ought to look at real Christians and go, on the one hand, I want them gone, and it creates persecution. I don't agree with them. I don't like them. But on the other hand, they make this place a better place. They're more loving than many of my other neighbors. They give when nobody else will give. That puts me in conflict. That's it. And it says that as Holy Spirit came, Rome, across Jerusalem and elsewhere, started to go, I'm in favor. These are remarkable people. But then there's a second dimension of the mission that's accomplished by Holy Spirit. God turns the church into a nursery. A nursery where less human sinners can meet with more human sinners who've been made more human by the Savior who died for sinners and lived for sinners. And the church becomes a nursery where the brand new can find what it means to be Christ's child. To put another way, evangelism makes you more human. I'm not kidding. If you've never had the experience, you won't understand this, but if you ever have it, you will. When you're sitting with someone who at one moment doesn't think it's all real, and the next moment, right before your eyes, you see them begin to believe, you're not just happy that you'll be with them forever. You just became more human. This is why I'm here. I'm here to help people like you. Wow, I feel more alive. So, these are the vital signs. Listen to them again. Devotion to God's truth. Vital, vibrant, robust, loving relationships. Joy-filled worship. A generosity with stuff instead of thinking, how much can I get and how long can I keep it? It's how much with which I've been entrusted and who needs it. And you become a nursery for the most hurting. Now, let's apply it. Back to my Legionnaire's disease. I can remember being discharged very vividly. Frankly, I was glad to be alive. I'm from Philadelphia, where it was first identified in the Bellevue Stratford Hotel. When the nurse pushed me in the wheelchair out through the double doors and they opened and the air surrounded me, the change in temperature, it felt euphoric. Barb had run to get the car, and I can remember distinctly doing this. First deep breath of outside air. I was alive. Let me ask you, as you've listened during this time, have you found yourself inside going, yes? Or have you been sort of hacking. If you're a believer and you're hacking because you know these aren't marking you, go to him now. Go to him now and say, I'm sorry. I want these vital signs. And if you're not a believer and you found this just lodging in your throat, can I ask you directly? Are you weary yet of the world being reduced to the size of you? When you follow him, your world grows to the side of God and the cosmos, and you become part of changing and helping everyone. Which do you really think is more human? Let's come to him afresh. Let's pray. Oh, breath of God. Oh, breath of God. Come sweeping through us. Take the one right now who's opening finally and breathing deeply. Take the truth all the way down. Take the one who's had closed throat, shut down lungs, and heal them. Bring them to yourself. Make us all new. Make us alive. Let this city, let the world be confused by us. Because though they don't agree, they find us to be the most human folks they've ever met. Make us a nursery. Make us new. We are your people. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.